We've called this Sunday Season Sunday, and we've got three leaders in our church that have faithfully followed Jesus and our church family, and they all represent our Caleb generation. Maybe you've heard us say and talk about the Caleb generation. It's our ministry for those who are 55 and up. But maybe you don't know the meaning behind and the spirit behind Caleb generation. It comes from God's word, and it speaks of a man named Caleb. And he says this, and before I read this, Caleb reminds us today that 45 years before this, he was sent out to explore the land. And I love what Caleb says. He says, I serve the Lord wholeheartedly. Yes, yes. The speakers today that we're hearing from have served the Lord wholeheartedly. And then I love what Caleb says. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day as Moses sent me out. We know Caleb is probably not talking about his physical strength. Caleb is talking about his spirit, his conviction, his passion, his faithfulness following Jesus. He says, I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then at 85 years old. Now give me this hill country that the Lord has promised me that day. This Caleb spirit, it is a different spirit simply of somebody who has faithfully, wholeheartedly followed Jesus for more than 5 minutes. Can I get an amen? And today we get to hear from three great leaders who I so look up to, who I respect so much, and I really believe have a God word for us today. We're going to welcome them all in just a moment. But I just want to mention all three really quickly. First, we're going to hear from Bill Young, an amazing leader in our church. Yeah, we can give Bill a hand. Bill has followed Jesus for over 60 years and has been a part of our church for 35 years. We also get to hear from Pastor Robert Cameron today, who leads our Caleb generation. Pastor Robert has followed Jesus for 60 years, been a part of our church family for 40 years. And last but not least, we get to hear from Gay Tehanchuk, who has followed Jesus for 61 years, been a part of our church for 36 years. And I'm so honored that these amazing people would take the time to speak into our church. We're not just hearing from people who have something to say, but we're hearing from people who have something to say with authority and conviction because they have faithfully, wholeheartedly followed Jesus. They are leaders in our church, and I'm so honored, so thankful for all three of you, church. I know that we're going to be the most responsive, the most encouraging we've ever been. Can we welcome first and foremost Bill Young as he comes to preach the word this morning?
Thank you. Wow, the view from up here is a whole lot different from the view from back there. Won't you guys have a seat? First thing I want to do is thank Pastor Steve and Sharon, not only for the opportunity to speak, but for your faithfulness for all the years that you've been here. Your obedience to the call of Christ, I'm very thankful for that. And I'm very thankful that Pastor Steve picked up those socks that day. Seemed like it worked out really good. How do I tell you about my faith journey? I grew up right here in Virginia Beach, and I grew up in a little Baptist church on Pleasure House Road called Bayside Baptist Church. And when I was really a young guy, I mean, maybe 10 or 11 years old, I went up front one day to accept the Lord, as we used to call it back in the day, as my Lord and Savior. And when I did, I'm standing up front, and all these women and men kept coming up to me after church, and the women were hugging me, and they were saying, this is the best decision you're ever going to make in your whole life. And the men were coming up, and they were shaking my hand. It's like, wow, it's like, you know, I was starting to be a man. I couldn't believe it. It had just changed so much. And in that moment when all this was happening, it was the very first time I ever heard that still small voice of the Lord. And he was saying, look, you don't understand this right now, but you will. There's just some things I've got to teach you and a journey you've got to go on, but you will understand it as time goes on. And I did not understand it then. What happened just a little bit of time after that, I was in my high school, and a guy named John Jimenez came up there, and he was doing a youth thing for the youth, right? And he started preaching. He started saying how that he had met Jesus, and Jesus had changed his life. And of all of his friends, his close circle of friends, he was the only guy that was still alive. All of them had either been killed or, it was just a crazy time. But when I sat in that church at my Cox High School over here, it just completely changed my life. And it just turned everything around. Years later, I met Kathy, and we got married and started the family. And right away, we started having Bible studies in our house. We had connect groups back in the 70s. And didn't know much, so there was a local Bible teacher called Dick Woodward. Remember Dick Woodward, Robert? And we used to go to his mini Bible college and just started learning as much as we could. We were like sponges. We just wanted to learn. We wanted to have these Bible studies and do things. Well, what happened was, a little time after that, we moved to Colorado, and we were there for 14 years. And Colorado was really great for me. We grew a lot in the Lord, and I learned a whole lot of things. But what I'd learned mostly in Colorado was that it's good to read your Bible and study the Word, but it's also good to listen to God and listen for His voice and what He's going to tell you back, because we learned so much then. We had four daughters then, and, life was busy. I didn't have a whole lot of time for anything, really, but I would always make it our priority. At least I would read one chapter a day in my Bible. I wouldn't go to work without it. I just couldn't, because if I didn't get that started first, it just wasn't going to work out. There was a time in Colorado, I was a house framer, and if you're framing houses, especially in Colorado, if you don't get paid by the hour, you get paid by the job. So it would snow every night. Every single night it would snow, and I'm like, we'd go to the job, we'd shovel off the snow, we'd come back, and then it would snow again that night. So I couldn't pay my bills, I was having a hard time, and I'm like, you're in charge of the snow. How can this be snowing every day when you're in charge of this and I can't pay my bills because I can't go to work because you won't let it stop snowing? And about that time, I got a knock on the door, and it was a good friend of mine that I went to church with named Gus Gowron. And he said, hey, man, look, I just want to tell you this. God's been putting on my heart to give you this $500. And he gave me that $500, which was exactly what we needed to get through our bills and get to the point where it quit snowing. And that was when God let me know He cares about me. I'm not doing this thing in the dark. He knows what's happening and what's going on. So time progresses and we move on. We come back from Colorado to Virginia. We're going to Virginia Beach, and we're going to a whole bunch of different churches, just trying to find one that we loved and that we could find. So what happens is I get a dream. I have a dream one night. And in this dream, my friend Gus, who gave me the $500, he said, hey, man, where you guys fellowshipping? And I'm going, man, we're just fellowshipping all over. And he goes, that's not what it says. It says be planted in the house of the Lord. You got to be planted. What are you fellowshipping? And just to get rid of the guy, right, just to get rid of him, I said, we're going to the Church of the Redeemer. That's where we're going. Well, the next day I told Kath, I said, where's the Church of the Redeemer? I don't know where that is. You know, this is 1990. We didn't have any phone. It wasn't in a phone book. There was no internet, right, Toby? There was nothing. We just had to do what we had to do. So that day I'm riding down the road, and I hear an advertisement for Church of the Redeemer. And I'm thinking, is this wild or what? I mean, what kind of deal is this going on here? I hear a phone call for Church of the Redeemer. And I didn't know where Church of the Redeemer was. They said it was Great Neck Middle School. I never even heard of Great Neck Middle School. Come to find out, Great Neck Middle School was my old Cox High School. That's where I went to school. You know what happened to me that next Sunday? I went and sat in the same seat that I heard John Jimenez preach. And I heard Wally Odom preach. And what he was preaching, I still remember, he was preaching, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no healing physician there? What else I've learned? I've learned that God's perspective is eternal. It's eternal. The same God that we're reading about, we're studying right now in the scriptures, is the same God that was there at Cape Henry when they put the cross at Cape Henry. He's the same guy. He hasn't changed. He's always the same. And our time on this earth is short. Amen. Amen. I got way off subject, but I got to show you something. I'm a pretty simple guy, not really complicated, but I want to show you something. If my family or one of the people I have that comes over to my house, you'll understand what this is. This is a rope that hangs in my office, and simply right above it where it hangs there, it says perspective. This is my perspective rope, and this rope, it represents my life and eternity and where I'm going to spend eternity. And this little part right here, that's my time on earth. That's all I got, this much right here. I spend so much of my time focusing on this and not even thinking about all this and what's going to happen with all this. When I'm up against a problem or a challenge and things are not going right for me, I look at this rope, and He has never failed me. He's never failed me. He's always shown me. He's always led me. Now, I have to tell you, it always hasn't been what I thought. There was a time when I was having a real huge financial problem, and I was praying, asking God what to do, and how do I get out of this problem? Then 2008 hit. Remember, you guys remember how bad 2008 was? And then I was praying and asking God, what am I supposed to do? So you know what his answer was? He had a tree fall right through my house, just broke the house right in half. And through that, I'm thinking, now, what's going on? I mean, what's the deal with this? I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to do all these things. But you know what became a reality in my life then? Matthew 6:33. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's what happened. And since that time, I have tried with all that's in me to put him first and seek him first because I know it's the best way. And I only got 3 minutes left, so we got to wrap this thing up. I want to fast forward to the year 2020. The year 2020, for the first time in my adult life, I had some time. And I never had any free time as an adult. I've always worked at least two or three jobs. I've always had a bunch of businesses going on and things. But in 2020, I had some time. I had some time. So as you know, at Wave Church, the first 21 days of the year, we try to set aside some time to fast and pray. So I asked God, I said, what do you want me to do? What do I do in this time that you've set for me? And I feel like he told me, I want you to eat one meal a day for 21 days. I want you to spend at least an hour a day in the Word. And I want you to spend at least an hour thinking about and meditating on what you read in the Word. That's what I want you to do. You got to know me. For me, my idea of fasting is fast for breakfast and have a really, really early lunch. You know what I mean? I mean, that's my deal of fasting right there. So I started to do this. I started to fast and pray, and I had time. And something happened to me that has never happened to me before or since. It wasn't like I was reading the Bible. It was like it was becoming alive to me. It's almost like I was just watching a movie about it. And Kathy was still working then, so she'd go to work. And I was going to spend an hour a day in the Word. Next thing I know, she's coming home, and I've been in the Word for 8 hours. And it was something that completely and totally changed my life. It's never been the same. And I got to leave you with one thought. He has always been faithful. He has always been kind. He has always been true. But there's one thing I've learned about him in the 21 days of fasting or things that I've different done. He's not going to compete for your time. He ain't going to compete with YouTube or Facebook or even your work or anything else. Really, if we want to see the power of God move, we have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Wave Church.
So glad to be here this morning. In fact, at my age, I'm glad to be anywhere. I use an iPad today because I want to be just like Pastor Josh. I was going to use my iPhone, but I can't read it. I'm as blind as a bat. What I know about God, I didn't know then. I was brought up in church. As I say down south, I cut my teeth in the back of a pew. And I carved my initials in a few pews as well. I was brought up in church, and you went every Sunday, 3 days a week. I mean, I'd like to tell you I loved it, but I didn't. I didn't mind Sunday, but all the rest of the week, when my friends are out playing and the nice weather, the little weather we had in Scotland, I was stuck in church in a pew. But I learned that we thought that was a way to go to God. We know God was good. We need to serve him, and he was faithful. And we just know that we loved him. He was a good God. And, you know, we used to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. However, as you get older and you get more responsibilities, I began to see God of who he really was. And I found out that God is, number one, he's merciful. He's merciful. Being brought up in a church that was kind of a little legalistic, we thought God was a judge that was ready to wrap us over the knuckles with a stick every time we made a mistake. And, I can remember my dad and I can remember as clear as a bell as a young boy, he would say to me with that stern religious voice, be sure your sins will find you out. You know? And that used to scare me. I didn't do very much sin back then, trust me. It was later on in years. But I began to see he's more than a judge. He is a judge, but he's a faithful judge. He's a merciful judge. In Psalm 103, verse 8, it says, his judgments are tempered with mercy. We're singing about it today, the mercy of God. None of us would be here if it wasn't for his mercy. We'd be struck down. We'd be written off, lost, undone. But thank God for the mercy of God. His mercies are new every morning. And it gave me understanding to be reasonable with other people too. The older I get, the more merciful you get. Because when you're young, you think you know everything. And when you get older, you realize that you don't know much. And you begin to get merciful with other people when they make mistakes. Exodus 34 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious. And if we want to be like Jesus, that's how he wants us to be. He wants us to be merciful. He wants us to be gracious. Then I saw and I learned through experience as I traveled. Some of you know this, but for many years, 20 years, my family traveled as a singing group all over America for 20 years. And I realized that God was powerful. God was very, very powerful. And I saw people getting healed as a younger man, a teenager, and maybe older than a teenager, maybe 20s, mid-20s. I saw God heal people. I was in a church in Seattle, Washington, and we were in a Lutheran church on a Tuesday night, a spiritual Lutheran church. And as we ministered, this man shouted out, I can see. So after the service, we went to the man, and it worked out that he was a Scotsman, and he heard a Scottish family who was coming to speak and to sing at this St. Luke's Lutheran church. So his family said, come on, Granddad, let's come along, and we'll go and hear the Scottish people sing. And as we sang, God healed them, and he opened his eyes. That's the God we have. Whether you sing, whether you speak, whether you prophesy, it doesn't matter what you do. God is powerful. God is faithful. And he always honors his word. In Jeremiah 32, it says, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And of course, the answer is, there is nothing too hard for you. Time's running on. They said I could have 10 minutes. Who'll give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 50, I'm kidding. Then Elias, as I get older, he was faithful. We sang it today, the faithfulness of God. If there's one thing that keeps me going, it's the faithfulness of God. When we traveled, you know, we lived on love offerings. That's what they called them back then. We call them ministry offerings now, but we call them love offerings. And let me tell you something. Oftentimes, there was more love than offering. But somehow, God in his divine faithfulness always met our need. We never struggled. We were never poor. We never wanted. God always, you know, he's an on-time God. He loves doing miracles. He loves the impossible. Lamentations 3 says, the steadfast love, Pastor Josh already said it, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. Listen to that. Doesn't matter how bad we are or how stupid we are, because most of the times it's stupidity. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. I remember one time, it's been a few years now, and I was looking at my credit card. I had like $4,000 on my credit card. And we were traveling as evangelists, and for some reason, I got $4,000 on my credit card. And we were doing the same thing, traveling, but however, I ended up with this credit card debt. And I'm sitting there in my office one day, and I'm praying. I'm saying, God, I don't know where I've got, how I got this or how it happened, but I need help. And I'll never forget, the Holy Spirit said to me, read Psalm 23. So I'm sitting there in my office. It was in my house at the time. And I'm reading, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. So I went through and set the market. Now, this is how the Scottish people do it. I went through and set the market. I think the Holy Spirit spoke to me. That's how we are. We're just very careful people. I think the Holy Spirit spoke and said, I've been worried about this money and the credit card, and I think the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I shall not want. So anyway, we left it. Next week, I get a check in the mail for $6,000 from a church I'd only been at once, 100 people, didn't expect to go back again, and yet they sent this $6,000 offering. Wow. God is more than enough. I needed four, I got six. The faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. See, God is there when we're up. God is there when we're down. You know the story of our son David. Some of you don't know the story, but our son David ended up in jail for 15 months while we were pastors at Wave. But by the faithfulness, it nearly destroyed us. But by our faithfulness, the faithfulness of God, and let me just add the wonderful encouragement of Pastor Stephen Sharon. We stood there faithful every week, never budging, never deviating, believing that God would come through sooner or later. And I'm here to tell you, he came through later. The devil's mad. And I'm glad, because you never got the lad you thought you had. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. He's always there when we need him. He's there. He's there when we're up. He's there when we're down. He's there when we're confused. He's there when we're clear. He's faithful. He's faithful. And listen, finally, he's wonderful. The bottom line is God's not looking just for a friendship. He's looking for a relationship. He loves us. He doesn't want grandsons or granddaughters. You never read anywhere in the Bible that talks about God's granddaughters or God's sons. It's God's daughters and it's God's sons. He wants that relationship with you and I, not so we have to do things, but we can love him. As most of you know, I'm a songwriter. And a lot of the songs I wrote were love songs to Jesus. And he was just, it's just amazing when you walk through life and you see God move and you understand that no, he's not just a person out there in the cosmic, the blue beyond, touching this and doing that. He loves us. And he wants us to love him. I was thinking one day, I was singing one day to myself, I'm saying, I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. And I felt the Holy Spirit said to me, I loved you first. I loved you first. So listen, he's faithful. He's powerful. He's wonderful. And as I look back, the faithfulness, the wonderful power of God, the wonderful relationship I have with God and have with God, with my wife, my family, and what God, and the church, I love my church. How many love Wave Church? So I can sum it up like this. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. All my breath, as long as I'm able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Thank you.
Well, I think we can go home after hearing from those two gentlemen. What touching stories. And Robert, you cried. Wow. You know, I've been a Christian since I was early teens. And I came to the Lord not because my parents were Christians serving God at that time. I came to the Lord because I was very sick. And I had been to a local church there by myself. I'd have friends and we'd walk to Sunday school and do different, you know. And every time there was an altar call, I thought I should be giving my heart to the Lord. But I had a friend that talked me out of it every time. She told me about all the rules and regulations that would go on. And I go, oh, I can't do that one. Can't do that one. But you know what? God had a way of getting me there. And I had a great grandma that prayed. And I remember the last thing she said to us was to my mother. She said, you know, you're going to come to the Lord, talking to my mother, through that child sitting on your lap. And I happened to be that child. I was very sick. And that pastor that I went to church and snuck out so I wouldn't have to get saved came and sat by my bedside and prayed for me. I woke up. He was praying. And the doctor wasn't very encouraging, but I found out then that the prayers were so powerful, and I wanted to learn how to be that person. He taught me, and I did give my heart to the Lord in the hospital bed. There was no altar call. I just needed him. Nobody else could touch me like he would. And some of the things I've learned along the way, I've learned a lot. And if I could ever pass anything on, is the power of prayer and the importance of the word. You know, we cannot do without it. It's our bread. It's our strength. Every day, it's a sincere thing that when I pray, I don't go a day without trying to talk to him. You know, your best friend, your loved one, you wouldn't go a day without talking. But we do sometimes, I did sometimes go without talking to Jesus, and he was one of the most important people in my life. He met me at every need that I had. And I can especially remember, I read the Bible several times, and my husband passed away about 14 years ago. Things changed. I couldn't read the Bible, but I did. I did it anyway. And I thought, and one night I was praying, I said, God, you know what? I'm reading it, but I'm not hearing it. I don't know what you mean. I'm a little bit upset with the way you've done things. But you know what? I still love you, and I know you still love me. And I got up the next morning and read just like I normally read, and I read a scripture that I've read 1,000 times before. And that scripture touched my heart. It says, my grace is sufficient. He let me know he's going to be walking with me through everything. Another thing I've learned along my little journey, and I wish I knew it when I was younger, is renewing my mind. Oh, my. Oh, my. This brain can think of a lot of things, and not always good things. And in Romans 12, 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this word, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that you may do what is the will of God, and which is good, acceptable, and perfect. And the word even tells you what to do with your thoughts. It tells you how to think. Not that it's coercing you, but instead of thinking of those negative thoughts and those things, I can't do this, I can't do this, it tells you in Philippians, finally, brother and sisters, whatever is true, think on that. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, and whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. I can get myself in such a tizzy. I do it quite well. And when I start thinking this is a God thought, it really isn't. I know better. I know better. And I have to just think of what, pause and think, what would God, what am I thinking about God? Am I thinking about him? And I found out that there's no growth without struggle. Oh, my. I wish that one wasn't true. I wish that wasn't true, and that I cannot control things. God is in charge. I like to be in charge. I like to control every little thing. But somehow when you're serving God and really mean, you love him and you ask him, what should I do? He answers. And sometimes I don't like the answer. And I've made a lot of mistakes. But I've learned that they're just a chapter in my book about this journey with the Lord. It's not the whole book. And everyone needs a mulligan or two or three. Since we had the golf tournament, I thought that might be appropriate for you golfers. But Proverbs 24:16 says, for a righteous man falls 7 times and rises again. And in Romans 8, it tells us that God causes all things to work together for good. And I've learned that my emotions aren't real helpful at times. It gets me thinking, and I get anxious, I get worried, and I can't do anything about it. I can't change some things, but I sure can start thinking about what can God do and how can I surrender this to him. I used to suffer. One of the reasons I was in the hospital way back when is because I had a lot of anxiety and worry, and I had a lot of physical illnesses that went along with that. So I had to learn to cast all my anxiety on him because he cares for me. And so I just put the word in every time I started thinking about those things that just caused me distress. And a lot of things did. I learned everything wasn't that important. Guard your heart. It's a big lesson. It says guard it because everything flows from it. A lot of that unforgiveness, I'm a very stubborn woman. That's good when you have faith. It's not good when you don't want to forgive. And I don't know about you, but God doesn't let me buy with too much. He tells me he won't let me pray unless I start asking for forgiveness for that. If I have to ask a person, I had to do that with my stepdad. My husband helped me write that letter when I wrote it to him. And it was like, I don't know how many drafts, 25. And he was rubbing my back. He says, are you okay? I said, well, I can't see anymore through the tears. But I felt God cleansing me from all that. And be faithful with what God puts in your hand to do, because it's going to prepare you for something ahead. Stay in church. We need each other. We need each other. You're going to learn. You're going to know how to interpret what God's saying to you through his word. And be teachable. Unfortunately, I'm still learning. I thought at a certain age you stopped that. Not so. I'm still learning. I learn from old and young. Some of you young people, I admire your courage. I admire what you're doing for the Lord. Keep it up. Jesus needs you. He needs you on the battlefield. He needs you every place you go. Just keep on trusting Jesus. And I learn something new every day about God. He's good. He's faithful. He's a good, good God. Never forget that. He's so good, even when we're not so good. Thank you.